The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show.
Hello, Cleaning Nation. Lindsay back today, and I'm here with Tracy Thompson, our amazing mindset coach. And today we are going to do a deep dive into a topic that Tracy brought up, and I was like, yeah, let's do it. This is a deep one, guys. So today we're going to talk about how your business growth is directly related to your personal growth, especially as a leader, right, Tracy?
Yes, yes, and yes.
All right, let's just dive into it. Tell us what you've been seeing in Cleaning Nation and what brought this subject up today, and take it away.
Well, this is a really interesting, it doesn't get talked about a lot, and I think probably not enough. Most of our people out there in Cleaning Nation, you who are listening right now, are likely a what we would call an owner operator, meaning that you are really directly, you're influencing your internal team culture. You have contact with your clients to a certain degree, right? You're still very much influencing the business and definitely influencing culture. So that makes you not just an owner, but a leader. And I think that's one of the big distinctions that when we talk about what it means to be a true, you know, a business owner in today's environment, I believe most people here fall into that category. So how does your business growth as an owner operator, how is it influenced directly by your personal growth? Well, let's sort of dial it back and talk about core values. You know, we hear Mike talks about it a lot, and having core values, knowing your core values, being able to articulate and communicate your core values with your team, for example, and building culture around core values is probably the base. I would call that base camp, right? That's base camp for how your culture is built. That being said, let's call that base camp. You need to have that. If you have not done that, if you have not sat down and really thought out and articulated what are your core values, I would start there. So that's number one. Now, let's assume you have that. Let's assume that you've done the core values work and you're communicating that to your team, through your team, through, you know, to your clients. Let's talk now about character and leadership style and how you show up, whether it be intentional or not. Because here's the thing that's interesting about all of us as human beings. As human beings, you know, we are notoriously not great at being able to observe ourselves more objectively. So then how do we do this, right? How do we know whether or not we're being a good leader? How do we know if you know, we're growing as a person and expanding and really being the growth leader that we intend to be? And I would say, Lindsay, we've talked about this internally, but I believe that we have each other. Mm-hmm. We have the team, we have our clients even that are mirrors.
Exactly.
Back to us.
I was going to say like a feedback loop, right?
Yes. It's like, you want to know what kind of leader you are? Look around.
Look around. All around.
Right. Look around and what's coming back to you. For example, if you look around and you say, do I have a team? Like, this is first level. Like, do I have a team closest to me that is reflecting back to me the kind of character, the kind of work ethic, the kind of creativity, the kind of quality that I believe I am as a person? Do they reflect? And I'm not saying they're duplicates of you. That's not what I'm saying, right? I'm talking about character, core values, work ethic, you know, do you trust them? I mean, like, for instance, we hear a lot of this, like, well, I would love to hire this position or that position, maybe even just hiring more cleaners, but I don't know. I don't know if I can trust it. I'm not sure that I can trust these people to do the right thing on their own without me micromanaging.
I was just going to say that you took the word out of my mouth, micromanaging. Yes, that's a big one we hear.
So this is a good example. Are you micromanaging? Do you feel like you have to micromanage? Well, I want to invite you today to look at this from a different perspective. Maybe what that's showing you, probably, what that's showing you is a reflection back of your leadership, style. Your personal character development, your ability to lead people, and for that matter, hire people to begin with. If these people on your team, you feel like you can't trust them and you're micromanaging, it could be A, you didn't hire the right people because, you know, you needed a warm body and they showed up and whatever, right? So that goes back to core values. It could be that you haven't developed enough as a leader yet to trust the people you've hired. And they're reflecting back to you a dependence on your micromanaging. And it becomes a self-fulfilling loop. And you're like, oh my gosh, but they need me to micromanage or it falls apart. If I turn my back for 2 seconds, they can't function without me, which is ironic because the reason that they do that is because you haven't allowed them or empowered them as a leader. You haven't empowered them to do it on their own. And so it just feeds on itself over and
over. Yeah, it's a never ending loop. So how do we step back and recognize this loop? And where does the personal growth come in? Like, how do we nip that in the bud, break out of the cycle?
Yes. Okay. Well, I love that question. I'm definitely going there. So really quick, I'd like to give a couple of other examples.
Okay.
Just so Clean Nation is like, okay, well, I can see that's one example. Where else does this show up? How can I see this feedback? How can I see it clearly? Okay. So we talked a little bit about team. You feeling like, I feel like I still have to micromanage. Maybe I don't have the right people. I'm afraid to hire because of this. If it's not me, it isn't to be, you know, kind of mentality. Right. You, the owner, have to do everything. Feel like you have to be in the middle of everything. You have to manage it all. Okay. That's one example, but let's flip it over to the client side.
Okay.
This is where it seems to be less obvious, but if you have had contentious or difficult or challenging relationships with your clients, or they're leaving, you have a lot of people leaving, you have too much turnover in your client base, that can also be a reflection back to you as a leader, maybe not directly, because you go, well, I don't deal with the clients every day. That's my team.
Yes. Right.
Team, for example, is a reflection of you too in your leadership. So it all still comes back to you. Okay. Now, if you are dealing with clients, if you are working with clients, we hear this a lot. I hear this a lot. Well, the only person that my clients trust is me. I have to be there. And the second I'm not there, they complain, they leave, they get upset, they whatever. I can't extricate myself. I can't move. I can't pull back as an owner. I have to be there. And that also, if that's being reflected back to you, if you look really closely and go, yeah, ooh, you know what? That feels a little bit true. I feel like my clients aren't happy unless, air quotes, for those of you who are listening and not seeing, they're not happy unless I'm personally there holding their hand and talking to them all the time and making sure that everything is right. Okay. All of that's a reflection of you as a leader, whether it was intentional or not. So now, Lindsay, I'm going to answer the question.
Okay. Jump the gun.
I wanted to make sure we had some other examples of how do we flip it? How do we now, as leaders, develop our personal growth, right? How do we personally grow so that we can lead in a new way, in a different way, in a growth-minded way that takes you out of the field, for example, like you're not the one, the only one that your mm-hmm. clients, for example, will communicate with or respond to, or you're the one who's always putting out fires. How many people out there are like, oh my gosh, I would get so much more done if I wasn't constantly putting out fires, client fires, team fires, you know, fires. Well, how do you flip that? Well, the first thing is identifying that it may not be your fault, but it is your responsibility. So let me say that again.
Yes. I was that's a writer downer.
Because what I think a lot of people get caught up in is, oh God, it's my fault. And then they turn it on themselves as a form of abuse, of self-abuse, right? Of going, darn it. You know, I did this. It's my fault. I'm the only one who can fix it. And that's true, but they go about it the wrong way. So what they do is they end up going, okay, I'll work harder in the field. I'll do more with my clients. I'll go in there and I'll get out there and I'll retrain everybody and I'll micromanage better.
Better micromanaging.
I'll be a better micromanager. No. That's not the answer. The answer is, first, ask yourself, where am I seeing the biggest weakness in my people, in my in with clients and so forth? So be reflective first of where externally, where the biggest weakness is. And those weaknesses, I guarantee you, are going to be directly tied to an internal weakness for you. So let me give an example that I've already talked about. Trust. Trust. I get this a lot. You know what? I don't trust my people to do the right thing. And that's why I keep having to go out and talk to clients and make sure they're okay. And I have to go out and micromanage my team. And I have to put out all the fires myself because I can't trust my people. Can't trust. And my clients don't trust my people. Oof. Okay. And I know on the surface that looks like, that looks like an external problem. It looks like I don't have the right people, or I can't have anyone else but me. I get it. But I want to invite you to look at this a little bit differently, first of all.
Okay.
Where does trust begin?
I'm pointing to myself for people listening on the podcast. I'm like, me.
Trust begins with you being able to trust yourself. Your choices, your being able to hire the right people, you being willing to allow yourself to make mistakes and fail forward and grow and learn and not have that perfectionist. And yes. I say that with air quotes, the perfectionist part of you dominate to the point where it creates a prison for you. You have to be able to start trusting that it's okay to embrace the suck, as I put it. It's okay. It's okay to make a mistake. It's okay for your people to make a mistake. It's okay for there to be a crappy 1.0 and even a crappy 2.0 version.
Yep.
And that is an internal character strength that you build by using it like a muscle.
There it is. Okay. So right. I just want to jump in here and like, that is so key. And I found this with training VAs. It is a person. This is the personal growth part. Tracy, poor Tracy's right. Getting blinded by her sunny Las Vegas weather. There you go. And it's a personal growth issue in the fact that especially with me, I saw this all the time. And just to put it in perspective, a situation I was in was me trusting VAs to do all the work. I used to do everything. It's Cleaning Nation hears all the time. Mike always says, Lindsay did everything. And I was such a perfectionist about it. I had a really hard time letting go. And Tracy, maybe you can talk about how you coach people about this. But for me, it was realizing that the world wasn't going to burn down if like one video didn't get edited perfectly how I liked it, or the podcast wasn't released at an exact time. Can you walk us through how to kind of overcome that perfectionism, for example, and what you would say to someone?
Absolutely. I coach on this all the time internally with our Next Level and our Millionaire people, is prove to yourself a little bit at a time. Don't try to take the whole thing on all at once, right? Don't go, okay, I'm going to completely change my whole style of leadership and I'm going to try to do it all at once. Okay. So that's a mistake. And then I'm going to talk about the flip side, the other side too, Lindsay. So remind me, the flip side is the opposite. Where you check out, you're the kind of leader that just barks out orders and then leaves the scene. Okay. There's that style too. So we're going to talk about that. But for now, how do you help yourself from being the one who has to be in the middle of everything, the perfectionist? Okay. So prove to yourself a little bit at a time every day. I like to call it prove how everybody doesn't really need you as much as you think. Project anti-perfectionist. So it goes something like this. So pick one small thing today, for example, that you would typically jump right in and, oh, let me fix that for you. Let me go put out that fire for you. Whatever it is, let's say it's with your team or with a client. Just take a moment. I don't want you to even go, well, I'm going to completely turn over this whole new leaf and do it totally different. I only want you to do two things different today. One is I want you to take a pause. Take a moment. Like in sports, they go, take a knee, right? Hold on a second before you react, before your pattern kicks in of always being the one. Take a moment and just go, what if I didn't have to fix this right now? What if this didn't have to be perfect? What if? Just what would that look like? What would that feel like? Just take a moment. So what happens, Lindsay, is we run on patterns and habits. And we don't even like programs that just run in the background and we don't even realize we're doing it. We're like, dang it. There goes my perfectionist again. There goes my firefighter again. Take a moment. Okay. Take a pause. Second thing I want you to do is I want you to imagine doing it differently. Like maybe that's allow somebody else, like in your case, allow the virtual assistants to do it on their own. Probably not going to be perfect. It's not going to be you. And just be with that for a moment. Mm. What if I let them do this? And then prove to yourself, go ahead. If you feel confident, let somebody else do it. Or respond in a new way, respond in a different way. Mm-hmm. For example, if it's a client that's like, this is happening, that's happening, or I don't like this, or whatever the thing is that you feel like you have to rush out and fix immediately. What if you said, okay, fantastic, but you didn't do it immediately. You didn't drop everything you were doing right now to take care of it. What if you told them, fantastic, I will come out at noon instead of at 9 a.m. right in the middle of, right. So just take those small steps and then notice how the world didn't burn down, as you said, right? They actually were okay. It didn't have to be perfect. It didn't have to be right now. It didn't even have to be you in some cases. Mm. Prove to yourself a little bit at a time. And every day, do a little bit more.
Build that muscle.
Yes, muscle. So I call that the confidence competence loop. So you're building that loop, the momentum that says, well, I feel a little more confident tomorrow to offload another thing, maybe have somebody else do it, be a little more tolerant of it not being perfect. Competence, right? Confidence, competence, they go together. So
the other version before we have to, I want to make sure we squeeze in the other version of someone that's totally out of the loop. There is no loop.
Like, right, exactly. So there's the opposite. And some people believe that the best way for them to manage or to lead is to kind of have, I call it the my way or the highway. The my way or the highway version is more of the sort of old school sort of masculine, dominant, hey, listen, you know, my people are going to get in line or into line or they're going to go. And my clients, you know, the same way. And so it tends to, this style tends to be like, well, I'm not going to micromanage everything. I'm just not going to do it. And so I'm going to just bark out a bunch of orders or say, hey, listen, if you don't like my way or it's the highway, get out. And that doesn't last very long either. That kind of dictatorship style or that rigid one, I call it sort of one track mind style as a character, as a leader, you really can't expect people for very long. It may work short term, especially if you are talented enough to hire good people. Those good people will only take that for so long. Mm-hmm. They will only take not being listened to for so long. They will only, and clients too, right? Eventually that infiltrates even through the best team. So you have to be careful with the opposite, right? This is where personal growth really becomes important, especially at a different level. So your confidence and competence is different. What you need to work on is how to be present with people. You need to be willing to go, hey, you know what? That feels a little like, you know, I have to, I want to be careful about how I say this, but you know, I got to care more about people. And so if your style is a little more distant and a little more, maybe that was what you were taught. Old school. Listen, I grew up in a very old school, environment. I had parents that were very old school that way. And I had bosses that were very old school that way, very militant almost in that it's my way or the highway. And if you didn't learn a better model, this collective consciousness now, people are shifting. They want a leader who is more involved, who cares, who is willing to listen as much as speak, to work with your people. And I think for you, if that's you, being honest with yourself and going, you know what? I'm kind of seeing it. I'm seeing that I am losing good key people, or I'm seeing that clients are leaving and not telling me what's going on. Okay, well then we need to look at how do I look inside and go, well, okay, next time, let me be a little more present with my people. Let me ask and listen a little more than I speak. And that's hard. Dominant. I will self-admit that when I was younger, I was that kind of leader. I was the kind of, it just asked my younger brother.
How bossy. Let's get him on the podcast.
I was totally bossy. I was the kind that was like, no, I don't want to hear. Nope. Because your way is not going to be the way I want it. So I don't even want to hear it.
True older sister vibes.
I was totally oldest child. Totally. Yeah. And it quote worked for me. And I say that with air quotes.
Air quotes.
Yeah. It quote worked in the sense that the only people who stuck around me were willing to be the kind that were told what to do. And that only went so far. And eventually those people rebelled. And my brother got big enough to beat the crap out of me.
I see you.
Yeah. Well, like, oops. Okay. Being mean to little brother was no, like he was not little anymore. And you know, and it's a good metaphor because our people will only your people will only follow so long before you need to, I needed to be a little more humble. I needed to listen more, and I needed to dial down the intensity of my personality and the way that my character, the how I showed up, so that I could be more collaborative with people. And that was a tough lesson for me, because I tend to be a dominant, very, you know, it's part of my personality. I'm a dominant personality. And if that's you out there, I know this is a hard pill to swallow, because it feels like I've been successful despite this, and it, and people who are snowflakes today and they need to just toughen up and suck it up and all of that. I get it. But this is, I'm inviting you. This is an opportunity to look a little deeper and go, what's my next personal growth level? How can I harness the power of more compassion and being more present, and maybe even listening more than I speak? Ooh, I know that's hard.
Ooh,
yeah.
Tracy, this has been such a deep dive today. Like, we knew going into this episode it was going to be a deep dive, but this has been good. We are out of time. We are over, but this was awesome. Thank you so much for really going there with us. And I just want to encourage people out there in Cleaning Nation that we do a lot of tactical, a ton of tactical work with our clients and on these podcasts. Yeah. And I just want to emphasize too, that this mindset work that we did today is also a huge aspect. We see them going hand in hand. And if that is something that after this podcast, maybe you're realizing, geez, that's totally me. And I need help. Go to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk, book a call. Let the person you speak with, one of our coaches, know that, yeah, I heard the mindset call or the episode with Tracy and a leadership and geez, that just really hit home, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And just talk about it with someone. I mean, we focus so hard on tactical stuff, but I just really wanted to hit home that what you're talking about, Tracy, is so integral to the process too. Yes. So any last words from you today? Any take homes?
The only thing I want to leave you with at Clean Nation is, regardless of where you are in your business growth and your personal growth, there is always a next level. There is always, even the best of the best leaders, we all need to grow. That is built into us. Okay. So if you're feeling like, okay, this is it, grow my cleaning company, right? Grow my personal self and leadership at the same time, follow that impulse, follow it up, do it now. Trust me, it'll be worth it.
Awesome. And on that note, I'm going to lead us out of here. Thanks so much, Tracy. And we'll catch you next time, Cleaning Nation. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me, but like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing. Share with a friend, share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. At 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now. 602-932-6431. Give me a text. Say hey. Can't wait to meet you.